Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
This is idiocy.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
NFL's overtime rule in the playoffs. This isn't just dumb. It's the dumbest rule in all of American sports.
Wow.
The Rich Eisen Show.
So if this was the NFL overtime rule, I would not have a chance to rebut.
This is idiocy.
Earlier on the show, Fox Sports NFL insider Jay Glazer. Coming up, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Plus, from NBC's Keenan, actor Don Johnson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and we've got a lot to get to. I'm not going to lie. We've got a ton to get to. We've got your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Brockman and Del Tufo are in their posts right over there. Good to see you, gents, here for hour number three. Also good to see you, TJ Jefferson, in your spot, sir.
Holler
good to see
boy.
You.
Holler
at your boy. Big Ben retired today, and I mentioned in hour number one talking about his legacy and what it is and what it will be and what it was. I said one of his greatest legacies was the fact that he made three Super Bowls in the Tom Brady era. When, you know, how many, you know, folks were denied championships when Jordan played or when Tiger was at his height, right?
Right.
But Roethlisberger made it three times when Brady was doing his thing with the Patriots. And Brady has tweeted out, he retweeted Big Ben's retirement video. Lent his platform to Ben's farewell video. And he had this to say, Ben defied the TB12 method in favor of the throw some ice on it method his whole career. And ended up being an all-time great with six Pro Bowls and two Super Bowls. There's more than one way to bake a cake. As if Tom knows about
cake eating. Yeah, when was the last time he ate cake?
You know exactly. What he knows how to have his cake and eat it too.
Avocado.
But I don't know about you know, that's the figurative phrase. But at any rate.
Avocado ice.
The gluten-free, is that what it is?
Yes.
Anyway, there's a nice sentiment right there. We'll take your phone calls this hour, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're going to take the phone call of Don Johnson's calling in, baby. 18 minutes. Yes, the season finale of Keenan that he's on right now. But we talked to Don Johnson.
I used to dress in those suits in the 80s. We were all over Miami.
Exactly something I'm not going to bring up to him later on. I might bring up Miami Vice.
Crockett and Tubbs.
You have to. But joining us here to celebrate this, by this could be a good fantasy team name. Celebrate the Eberflus. Everybody from Good Morning Football, one of our favorites, Kyle Brandt. Good to see you, Kyle. How are you, sir?
It's great to talk to you, Rich. Happy Eberflus Day. They're partying in the streets in Chicago. Eberflus, Eberflus. Let's
yeah.
Go.
Yeah, right? It's Eberflus's day off, right?
It's good.
So
it's
it is.
Good.
Okay, I'll give you the floor on the Bears sticking with a mat, swapping out their Nagy for an Eberflus. Your thoughts, Kyle Brandt? What do you think?
I think anybody is – I'm just going to – cards on the table, Rich. I think anybody is being disingenuous if they're saying, oh, yeah, this is great. And I know sometimes you've talked about this on the show, that people's – the pitch of their voice will elevate if they're not being totally truthful.
Higher register, yes.
Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of, oh, that's good. I like it. People are going way up into the upper octave. You look at – the Chicago Bears, right? I mean, I think it's a prestigious premier franchise. The guy's never been a head coach, okay? Never at any level. And you just look at that sweet, sweet, beautiful number one Justin Fields, and you just want something to cradle him and protect him and nurture him. And we got a defensive coach, so I was looking for one of these guys, these Dables, and there are these Hacketts who are just, they're vouched for by all pro quarterbacks. And like, oh, this is my guy. So I have to tell you, I'm a little bit surprised. I guess I'm not surprised that the Bears do it. I'm more a little bit let down as a Bears fan. And I'm trying, what are we going with here, Rich? Help me out. Eberflus.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes, it is. That's the Eber and the Flus together.
Yeah. I think that the great Pauly Papst has said it sounds like a Dutch music festival. He's going to Eberflus with my friends this weekend. So that's where we're at. We got backstage passes to Eberflus.
Well, I guess I guess Darius Leonard could vouch for him, which is great. The defense was terrific this year, but nobody thought at all that the defense was the issue or has been the issue or will be the issue in Chicago. The issue is protecting the kid, and not just protecting him by getting Ryan Poles to get the right guy to people to keep Fields upright, but to protect him with a scheme and somebody who's got a plan. And so I need to wait to see who the offensive person is, right? Because for all we know, Eberflus could be, you know, Nick Sirianni was watering and fertilizing his way to a playoff season. You know what I mean? So we don't know, I guess, is another way to look at it.
And Rich, you were right. They did also have a Foles last year that they didn't need.
That's right.
Superfluous. You know what I think, though?
Yes.
This is the true Bear fan. This is when it's coming out.
Okay.
I don't care if it's Matt Nagy or Matt Eberflus or Matt LeBlanc or Matt Dillon. I don't care. The path to victory is the path by which number 12 for the Green Bay Packers gets the hell out of the NFC North, because I don't care who's coaching the Bears. They ain't beating them year after year if that guy is there, and I think they may get both. So Eberflus, great. Rodgers leaving, Hackett signing as new coach somewhere else. That's the real good news for Bears today.
Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. 10 questions with Kyle Brandt here. Sebastian Maniscalco, 10 questions with Kyle just dropped, where all podcasts can be acquired. So Rodgers going. We just had Jay Glazer in studio, and he's like, the other day I thought he's gone. Now if you ask me, I think he's going to stay. So I guess we've just entered that portion of the non-playing season where we're trying to figure all that out. But we did play this soundbite from 2020 to start the show today where Rodgers talked about Nathaniel Hackett. You know, actually, let's play that for Kyle. Go ahead. Here it is.
Hack has been a really important part of our culture change and a part of our success on offense. I love him. Hope he doesn't go anywhere unless I do.
There you go. Now here we are, smash cut to January 2022, and Hackett does go somewhere. So you think this really does happen? You really think so, Kyle?
Here's what I think. I think the one thing I feel most positive about is that Rodgers is not going to retire. I really don't think that's going to happen. I think I've even spoken to him about it quite a while ago. He that's not on the table. He's still the best player in the league. He loves football for all the things that get this in the way of that and in the media. He loves playing football, and he's the best player in the league. I also think he, more than any athlete in the world, when he talks about football, is very selective in what he says. I don't think that bite you just played is him being cute or glib. I think that's being put out there. I wouldn't put it past them, Rich. I mean this. I wouldn't put it past either Hackett or Rodgers. Rodgers, the ultimate strategist in the football world, to have known this is a thing for a while, to know that Nate is leaving after this year, and if he goes, I go, and I know this is the last dance. That last dance thing, it was fun, and we all talked about it when they tweeted it on Instagram at the beginning of the year. I also don't think that was a joke. I also don't think that was just them being cute and grabbing the pop culture thing. I really do think that it's been known for a long time in Aaron Rodgers' head that he is not coming back to Green Bay. So now that he's got his best buddy, a guy who can actually tolerate him, because as much as we love Rodgers, that can't be easy, man. I mean, that cannot be an easy guy to coach, to meet with year after year, to just start afresh with some coach he doesn't have a relationship with. It seems pretty close to turnkey with the coach he loves, with a good defense, and on and on and on, receivers, you know the accoutrements there. I buy into it. And I get a kick out of Denver this morning. We had it on our show, and Mike Garofalo is reporting, and I'm sure the report is completely accurate, and I trust it. Denver putting that message out there. We love Coach Hackett in and of himself.
Yes.
Has nothing to do with Aaron, nothing at all. Look, I get it. I get it. But if you're going to bring in Solange Knowles to record an album, maybe there's a shot her sister might come along to record her track or two. I think it's kind of the elephant in the room.
You're hoping, you know, just maybe, you know. Although, so Hackett's the Solange, right? Of this,
I think Hackett's the Solange. And Rich, I'm following the news cycle. Let me get this straight. Dan Quinn is the proverbial front runner to be the Broncos head coach.
Correct.
Oh, 3 days ago.
Yes.
And then are you telling me that the Packers then lose at home, a game in which they score 10 points, and, oh, my gosh, never mind Dan Quinn. All of a sudden, let's take this coach. It has nothing to do with the MVP quarterback who definitely wants to leave and just played miserable and has to get the hell out of there. But we love Hackett. It has nothing to do. That is a thick, viscous coincidence.
Well, I've
That's a good one.
Thick, viscous coincidence does not belong on our list of fantasy team names, Chris. That is an inappropriate spot because this should be the name of a Hall of Fame rock band or mockumentary band, right?
Like
thick,
80s,
viscous coincidence.
Metal.
Put your hands together.
Wow.
For thick.
Writers in the Air, it's a jam band. They play for hours same song.
Is that what it is?
It's like the String Cheese Incident. This coincidence. They tour with String Cheese Incident. They just play forever. It feels like one song, but everybody's in a different planet.
They opened for Karmazi Groupthink?
That's what they, yeah, they opened up for Karmazi Groupthink. Yeah. That's what they did. That Schmooch had. Fantastic. Thick. You know what? But Hackett killed the interview. You know? He killed the interview.
He did?
Apparently. You know, couldn't let him out of the building. And how about the fact that Schefter says the Jaguars team plane was there to take Vic Fangio down to see if he could be their fit for head coaching? That's what he said.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Well, that would be definitely the anti-Urban Meyer. Like all the things that Urban did. I don't think Vic is doing that at the happy hour and the kicking the kickers. Like that would be the classic zag to the zig.
There'll be no Twitter video of Vic Fangio at happy hour.
No, playing at Tiddlywinks with the co-ed. No, none of that. I don't think Vic is going to be throwing back mudslides at the TGI Fridays.
Yes,
he's probably going to be at home painting tiny soldiers under a magnifying glass and watching defensive tape.
He'll just Vic the kicker. That's it. That's what they're going to do. They're going to Vicking the kicker. Kyle Brand here on the Rich Eisen Show. How do you see Championship Sunday playing out, Kyle? What do you think? What do you think here?
Patrick Mahomes has never lost a playoff game to anybody but Tom Brady. And that's very compelling. Very compelling. And yet, it's not just that the Bengals beat them, Rich. It's that they beat them about 20 minutes ago. This was not one of these things back in October, September. And there's only been, let's see, Patrick Mahomes has 20-3 in games where they don't turn the ball over. Didn't turn the ball over against the Bengals. Just got outshot. They did basically the Josh Allen thing, except Joe Burrow won. I have a little my left pinky starts to tingle when I start to feel an upset alert, and I'm not afraid to say it, that I got a little tingle going on right now about the AFC, and I know that's blasphemous, and it's Mahomes Conference, and the AFC title game is officially the Arrowhead Invitational every single year. I like the Bengals squad.
Really?
It's tough, isn't it?
You know what?
Like on the money line?
No, stop it. No, excuse me. We don't know what that means. Stop it.
No, I do not.
Just because NFL Network told you no more does not mean you should disrespect Kyle Brandt.
I was just looking for tip.
I understand that.
don't disrespect me.
No, he's no longer part of NFL Network. He doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
Oh, good.
So, but here's the thing with Burrow.
Go on.
The thing with Burrow is we just don't know if we're about to see the all-time great ascension, right? That on a day that Big Ben retires, and he was the youngest quarterback to win the Super Bowl, and the only one to do it right in year two, that we could see this again, because we just don't know if the Burrow that smoked cigars in the bayou and put a ring on his finger is that kid for Cincinnati, and nobody could say it's not possible at all. That's the thing that fascinates me about Burrow.
We could be seeing history.
That's possible.
he's not only a lot of quarterbacks are cool. He is almost strangely cool. Like his pulse, should he be on some kind of watch list or something? Like he's like a Dexter type flat pulse in which, like, come on now. Are you telling me after the eighth sack against the bleeping Titans that he couldn't even yell at one lineman or throw one mouth guard? He's doing nothing. At best, he starts short-arming throws. At worst, he's like, I'm out of here. This is stupid. They told me I should have boycotted the draft and not gone to Cincinnati. He did none of that stuff. 9 sacks. He doesn't give a damn. It's an almost eerie watch list type cool that he has, and you got to respect
it. It is true. So before I let you go, what about the NFC? Does Shanahan do it for a 7th straight time? It's crazy. 6-game win streak against the Rams, including a Week 18 where they did the Undertaker, Jimmy G, the Undertaker move, where the Rams had their best shot to get the Niners out and the Saints in. Who knows, right? What a sliding door that is. Dallas could be in still. Green Bay could be still in there. Sean Payton might have found a new life. You never know. But what do you think about the NFC Championship game? Before I let you go,
Paul. Back in Washington, Sean McVay was Kyle Shanahan's quality control coach. Now, what does that mean? It means he's basically his assistant and his gopher, and he has talked about it. He actually had the duty one day when he had to watch the weather, and if it was going to rain that day, Sean McVay had to laminate Kyle Shanahan's play cards for him, laminate it properly, and if it's not laminated, you're fired. I still think there's a dynamic here where he is Shanahan's quality control coach. And as much as I love McVay and everything he's accomplished, and oh my God, it looks great, 6 in a row is 6 in a row. And the problem with Shanahan, this now becomes the conversation about Sean McVay. It used to be he's never blown a halftime lead. He's the future of coaching. He's the wonder boy. And maybe he is. Not against his coach. He's still laminating that play sheet every single time. He's got better talent. He's home, sort of at home. But the Niners could not give less of a bleep about any of that. And the Debo thing, and it's just they seem to have all the momentum, and I don't care about Garoppolo. Garoppolo is going to be one of the coolest stories we've ever seen, where he was kneecapped by his own team and could go to the second straight Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo is about to be in more Super Bowls than Dan Marino and Aaron Rodgers.
Kyle Brandt choosing both road teams where the Niners make it, and then the Bengals make it for a third time in their team history, and they see the 49ers for a third time. And they're like, oh, my God, again, the same team, but at least Montana is not there. That would be amazing. I will see you on Sunday, right? You're part of the 6-hour extravaganza on NFL Game Day morning.
Rich, right? I could not be more excited. I've never been to the facility there.
Fantastic.
I've never joined you guys live.
Fantastic.
Apparently, myself and the great Michael Irvin will be having a rematch of our Hype Man showdown.
That's a fact.
Whoa. I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm going to unleash hell on him. And I think last time in the voting of that Hype Man showdown, the books were cooked a little bit for the home team, so I'm going to have to really bury him if I go.
Well, you were on remote. You were on remote. This time you will be in person. I was told there's a surprise celebrity judge for this as well.
Oh, really?
Yes, this is what I've been told. And it's 6 hours long. It started 30 seconds ago. Unfortunately, we're both late for it. But you've got Good Morning Football first, and I will see you Sunday. In the meantime, 10 questions with Kyle Brandt, great podcast where all podcasts are acquired. The great Kyle Brandt. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Rich, you're the best. Thanks for having
me. Right back at
Sunday.
You. Kyle Brandt, everybody. Hey, check him out on Twitter as well at Kyle Brandt. We got to be on time for Don Johnson. Words I'd never said before, and I couldn't be more excited to say for the first time. Don Johnson joining us next right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen Show back here with our terrestrial radio affiliate group, Sirius XM Channel 85, Odyssey as well, and streaming coast to coast. And we say hello to our podcast listeners from later on. So psyched to have this man on the program. The season 2 finale of Kenan airs Monday, January 31st, with back-to-back episodes at 8 and 8:30 p.m. on NBC. And then it'll air the next day right here on Peacock. He plays Kenan's he plays Kenan's live-in father-in-law, and he provides shocking wisdom between martinis on this program. The legendary Don Johnson here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Don?
I'm good, Rich. How you doing?
Better for talking to you. I'm not going to lie.
You're very nice.
What's the thing people bring up to you the most when they run into you, Don? You know, what are they?
It's either the bags over the head in the Quentin Tarantino movie in Django, or it's Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man, or it's Eastbound and Down, or it's Knives Out, or you know, I get it. It's all over the place. And
yes,
more recently with Kenan. And we're getting some love over there. I like it.
I love it. Kenan is one of the funniest guys ever. Fact.
He's just a stand-up guy. I mean, we get each other, and you know, he gets it. He's smart and funny, and he's got your back, and we're hooked up over there.
Yeah, I know, and it's a funny program again. With the season finale airing Monday on the 31st, back-to-back episodes, and then the next day right here on Peacock. So what drew you to doing that with Kenan? Just what drew you?
Well, I'm friends with Lorne Michaels, I was doing a table read with him for a movie, and it had nothing to do with Kenan. And then the movie fell through about 3 months later, Lauren called me and said, read this. I went, see if you want to do anything. You may not. And so I read it, and I loved Kenan, and I loved the premise of the show. And, you know, it's like, and the character is completely different than anything I've ever played. So it was, let's get it on.
How did you meet Lauren? How long ago?
I met Lauren, you know, back before Dirt was in. we've just been in each other's lives for 40 years. You know, I think when I was still a struggling actor, mm-hmm. I met Lauren at Duke's restaurant in L.A. where we right. all used to go to cure our hangovers
out on the beach. Yeah, and, right.
Yeah, and so that's where I met Lauren the first time, and then you know it's just we've been in each other's lives ever since.
Don Johnson here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's your sports team? Would you have any? What do you got?
Oh man, I got a little schizophrenia going on over here. You know, I have sons. And they have opinions.
Okay.
And they have teams.
Okay.
And so I sort of have to take them. I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And I feel good about our chances this weekend. And my youngest son is a Rams fan. And my the next one up mm-hmm. is a Green Bay fan. So it was a little bit of heartbreak and bit of thrill and chill for me and my other son.
Yeah, so, I mean, this weekend was insane. This was one of the greatest football weekends of all time.
No, it's the greatest game I've ever seen. Just not even going to lie.
It was true. Have you ever been to any Super Bowls, Don? Have you ever been to...
I've been to several Super Bowls. You know, I've been to a couple, one in New Orleans and one... oh my gosh! I can't remember. I've been to about three or four Super Bowls. My problem is they're a little better now. My problem is in the old days they were about 6 hours long, you could probably go play 18 holes and could still come back and catch the fourth quarter, you know. And but now it's gotten a little better. So the show's a little tighter and stuff like that. And so if you're at the game and you're watching the game, you're not. You know, you're not waiting around forever for Snoop Dogg and Dre to finish with their show.
How is your golf game, Don Johnson? How is your golf game? How is
it? It's a little shaky right now, okay. But you know, given the right number of strokes, I could probably beat you.
Okay, I'll take that. So, how'd you get involved in Tin Cup? How'd that one go about from you back in the day?
You know something? I was the only actor in town with a name that could play golf. There's a lot of actors that say they can play golf,
right?
But there's not a lot that look like they can play golf, and I'm not a great golfer, but mm-hmm. I look like a great golfer.
Okay, so you versus Costner real time.
We played together heads up before. You know, it's like. You know, if I, on any given day, I can beat him usually, you know, 7 out of 10 times. But he's got game. You know, Kevin's an athlete. He's really good.
He's Kevin Costner. So, and you're Don Johnson, though. So did you take any you needed no lessons, no golf coach at all for Tin Cup, Don?
Well, that's part of what's wrong with my game is that I've, as a celebrity, you get lessons from everybody. You know, if you're playing in a pro-am and there's 10 pros, you're going to get a lesson from all 10 of those pros.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can't remember them. And holding a swing thought is well, you can just forget that because, you know, you got, well, at the time I had Payne Stewart and Phil Mickelson and Peter Costas and about four others in my head. So
really, like what? Giving you tips, or just in general, or just not for the movie?
Yeah, just giving me swing thoughts. And Peter Costas was actually he was the first one. I was trying to I was picking the ball off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really trapping it. You know, I was sort of picking it, and he was the first one to notice it. And you know, you got to be a pretty damn good athlete to pick the ball off the ground and still make it dance. And he looked at me and he said, "Dude," he says, "you're working really hard. Let me help you out here." So he taught me about the physics of golf. I went, "Oh, yeah, that's a lot easier."
Yeah, hit down on it and all that business. So Tin Cup actually improved your game, is what you're saying, John Johnson.
Oh my God, yeah. When I went out to make the movie, I was about maybe a 10. And by the time I finished making the movie, I was a 3. A good, solid, legitimate, consistent 3.
All right. So what's the best round you've had and where? What do you got for me on that front? You got something?
I played a scratch round in Aspen. That was pretty good. And the first time I broke 80, was at Augusta.
Okay, now, come on. What? Really?
I'm not kidding. Yeah.
From the tips, too, at right? Or what? No, not from the tips? Not from the pro? From the tips or from where?
No. This is 20 some odd, 30 years ago. It was from the tips. Believe me, I was making a movie down there called Paradise, and I actually saw one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Okay.
One of the pros that I was playing with stepped up on a par 3. We're playing those tracks there, Kiowa Island, and you know around there, and he tees it up, hits the ball, sculled it. It skipped across the lake like you were trying to kill a coot, and hit the side of the finally curled around, hit the side of the bank, went about 20 or 30 feet up in the air. Fell down, rolled all the way around the green, and dropped in the cup.
That's a one. There's no pictures on the scorecard. There's no pictures on the scorecard, right?
That's a one.
That's a
hateful game.
That's one way to put it. But so okay, this is pre-tigerizing the course when you're out there. Then, and so you're at Augusta. First round you ever break 80 is at Augusta National. That is insane.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Now, that was quite a day. I shot a 78 that day.
Wow. Yeah, tell me you have the card still, Don. You got the card still?
I have it somewhere. I don't know where I put it, but it's around somewhere.
Man, you've got enough stuff. So what is in your man cave? What do you have? Do you have anything from your history, from your
you know,
career?
I don't keep a lot of showbiz memorabilia, but I have, you know, there's a few things. There's, you know, some photos of when I did the inauguration, and I put together this little band with that included Bob Dylan and Steve Stills and the band and Garth and all those guys. And so I have a couple of photos of, you know, friends and stuff. There's some photos of me and Cheech, and I've got guitars all over the house. I don't play them much anymore, but my boys play. And, yeah, you know, it's just, I always got uncomfortable when I walked into a celebrity's house and he had all these, you know, photos and posters and, you know, that's just surrounded by this, this shrine to the ego and stuff like that. So I also because I have kids, yes. I didn't want my kids to live in a museum.
Right.
You know, so I just vowed to say, okay, I'm not going to keep anything around here that says who daddy is, you know.
Have your kids ever seen an episode of Miami Vice?
Oh, yeah. Well, that pretty much, you know, that's pretty much required viewing.
Well, there's that.
Whether you're my kid or not.
Okay, that's true. That's true. Do you have any of the garb from back in the day? Do you have any Miami Vice suits? Do you have anything from that?
Do you want me to send you over some swag?
Well, first of all, I'll be honest with you, Don. Yes, yes, I do. There is an I in Rich and Eisen, okay? There's none in Don or Johnson. So, yes, I would take that. You know, I don't think I'd fit in it, you know, but...
I don't know. I don't keep that stuff around here. But for you, I'll bet I could find some.
Come on now. So, just what, a suit, a shirt? What do you got? I mean, I'll take...
Well, I don't know. I'll have to go into the archives and see what's there. There might just be a piece of alligator. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you have any choice in what you could wear back in the day? Because you do know you created an entire fashion movement on that program, right,
well,
Don?
Yeah. I mean, we had... it was a unique time because we had... I had this fantastic costumer. Her name was Jody Tillon. Mm-hmm. And we sent her to... We sent her to Milan to literally take the clothes off of the model's back from like Versace and Armani and Terry Mugler. Most of these designers, we made their business because they were hot, you know, cutting edge designers that no one was really paying much attention to. But we loved that fashion and that kind of style. And then the personalization of it was because, you know, with the sleeves rolled up and the no socks and no belt and, you know, T-shirts and linen jackets and pants and all that stuff. That was just a function that it was so damn hot down there that you know, I kept trying to take clothes off. So first went the socks and then went the belt and, you know. It was on NBC, and if it hadn't been a network, I might have kept taking things off.
So the sleeves rolled up was more of a function than anything else? There wasn't a choice?
Yeah. Form follows function. And it was just it was easier, cooler, and it kind of looked good. So I said, oh, all right, I'll go with that.
Well, I'm 54 and Italian.
We'll see what happens here.
Okay, whatever you got, 54, that's about it, Don. And other than that, I greatly appreciate the call, and I look forward to seeing the Keenan finale.
Me too, and I look forward to some big games. And listen, make sure all your fans and friends out there tune in to Keenan. It's worth it, man. It's a good show, and it'll leave you feeling good and feeling good about yourself, and you'll be doing such a great service for my kids.
And that's back-to-back episodes for the finale at starting at 8:00 on NBC, and then right here on Peacock, the episodes air the next day. Look, I know you don't do this sort of stuff often, but whenever you want to promote anything, or if not, I'd love to have you back, Don. It's a pleasure.
Oh, you're so nice, Rich. I really enjoyed it, and thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. And even if honestly, I'll have you back even if there's nothing in your closet for me. I understand.
just keep your eyes on the mail. We'll figure out something.
Love it. Thank you, Don Johnson. You take care.
Okay, guys.
All right.
So
there's
much.
Don Johnson, everybody, right here on Twitter and Instagram, at Don Johnson. I Jewish goodbye to him because I didn't want to say goodbye to him.
No, he seems like a fun hang.
Dude, can you imagine something comes in the mail and something like that? Can you imagine?
It's like a white Gucci sport jacket.
You know what? You know what? I would destroy it just by putting it on. These things don't look good on me. No, they just like, well, you know, like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like on him,
maybe
it's like.
Frame it. Maybe he'll sign it and frame it.
No, I would wear it. You wouldn't wear it?
No.
Excuse me.
Wear it.
Excuse me. If there is a Miami Vice jacket in his closet and he's like, screw it, I don't need it. Screw it, I don't need it anymore. But, you know, Rich asked, it'll be fun, I'll send it. And you wouldn't try it on?
Try
and take
it on,
a picture,
I mean, like,
in it?
Wear it out.
Well, wearing it out isn't must. Absolutely, I'd wear it out.
I mean, according to Wikipedia, he's 5'11". He's our size.
I'm 6 foot.
So it should fit.
That's correct. One would think. I would intermittently fast to fit in
just
it.
Just to make sure that it fits?
Yes. Yeah. I would cleanse. Oh, I would go on a cleanse just to fit in it.
Cleanse, Peloton, all of the above.
And then go out to dinner.
I went on the boat.
In that. Yes.
Craig's in the jacket.
Full Miami Vice. And say, this is Don Johnson's. I'm wearing it.
Well, would you wear the pink t-shirt underneath?
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you got to wear like the V-neck.
Oh, guys, you gotta go 80. This is, who are you talking to?
Roll the sleeves up.
The fact that you say you wouldn't do that, that you'd rather just hang it somewhere and frame it.
Here's the problem. I would be afraid of spilling marinara sauce on it.
And you know, the guest host of this show, the Thursday and Friday after the Super Bowl, will attest, I am a human drop cloth.
Yeah.
My clothes are drop cloths, okay?
Just saying. It's a chicken parm and then, I got a red dot on the white jacket.
I would not.
Yeah, you know, you don't eat with it. That's off.
Like, put that over there. Does marinara come out of 35-year-old Armani?
It doesn't come out of 3-year-old Armani. Yeah. It doesn't come out of any Armani. I would. Here's what I would do. I would show up wearing the suit.
Would you notify the paparazzi beforehand?
Of course.
Like, call TMZ. Yo, I'm going to be.
Oh, really? You're here?
Oh, hi.
I'm just coming out of the valet and something Don Johnson sent me from Miami Vice. Yeah.
Play the music as you're walking in.
And then I would put on some sort of, you know, rapping like I'm at the front row of a Gallagher concert back in the same era. I would do Miami Vice. I would pay homage to Miami Vice
and Gallagher.
And then Gallagher.
Okay.
And then just, you know, give a shout out, pour one out for Alf at the same time.
Respect.
What other 80s pop culture references can I make in one?
Cheers. Are we just going to hit all the NBC shows?
Why not?
Yeah.
How many of the shows that I just mentioned are available on Peacock? Don't know, but I'm assuming many of them. All right, we'll take a break. I can't believe you wouldn't do that.
I would drive up in the Cadillac. I think he was just
being nice, right? He doesn't have anything in the closet. Like, literally, he's going about his day right now that he's not.
I would say he's already forgotten this conversation.
I bet he's got something.
We'll take a break. Phone calls to wrap it up. Well done, sir. Well done.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's go to Dakota in Jacksonville, Florida. What's up, Dakota?
Yes, how's it going, sir?
I just wanted to say that I am legally blind. I have been this way for 6 years on Valentine's Day of this year, and I just wanted to say that watching your show on a daily basis is truly touching, the conversations that you have with people. I've been so inspired by it. I really enjoyed the conversation that you had with Jay Glazer. That sure was awesome. I went onto my phone and went onto Audible, the audiobooks that I really enjoy, and I've seen that he's narrated his book, so I really look forward to purchasing that and listening to that. And I wanted to let you know, and thank you.
Well, thank you for calling and sharing.
I'm a Cowboys fan. Sorry to cut you off.
Nope. I'm sorry to cut you off. Keep going. Go for it. You're a Cowboy fan there in Jacksonville, Florida, huh?
Yes, sir. That is correct. I have the star tattooed on my chest. I got that a few years ago. I'm really hoping that we can take that leap, whatever it might be, whether it's keeping Mike McCarthy, whatever it is. I'm really hoping we know what we're doing.
Well, the good news on that front is Dan Quinn staying, and I think that makes you a better team, just him by staying as the defensive coordinator. And on behalf of Jay, you know, who I've known for quite some time, I feel comfortable in you know, voicing him to say thank you for the call. Appreciate you getting his book, and he's got your back. And hopefully you listen to that book and take what he's saying and make it part of your daily life and make it better. So thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir. I really do appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks for the call. That's Dakota in Jacksonville, Florida. Beautiful. That's why we're here. Tim in Florida, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tim?
All right, Rich. I got a solution.
Okay.
Overtime Super Bowl rules. Here we go. Right. Or playoff.
Got it. What is your idea?
Right. This is going to please all three people. The people who like the current rules, people who want change, and then people like yourself who want to include all three phases.
Yes.
All right. So if the team goes down and scores first, like the Chiefs did.
Yes.
The Buffalo Bills will get a chance to field the ball. However, bringing in the coin toss, if you decide to take the ball first and score a touchdown, you have to kick the extra point. The following team, who fields the ball next, gets a chance to score a touchdown, but has to go for two.
See, you're forcing them to do something that does not, you know, preserve their ability to win potentially, you know, and you're taking away something to a team that went second that the first team did not do, right? And so, you know what I mean? Like, if the extra point is no good for the first team, then the second team would then still have the option to kick the extra point and win,
correct,
right? So, but what if they miss and it's tied? You know, like that's what I'm saying. Is it then what? Now it's
old rules. It's sudden death. But you're giving, I think, what people want is for at least the chance to field the ball,
right,
without abrupt ending.
Tim, I appreciate the call. Thank you. You know, Costas and came out back on the show. Bob from New York, for those who are listening, called in. And so he's like, timed quarter, 15 minutes, play it out all the way to the last second, right? Just like quarters 1 through 4, all the way to the last second. Whoever's in front wins, whoever's not loses. And thus, a touchdown to start the overtime does not end it. And the matching of the touchdown does not then force sudden death on the next team. Now, you could basically, if you're the team that scored the touchdown to start, essentially hold on to the ball to the very end and kick the field goal, and the other team doesn't get a chance to have it back. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's entirely possible, and then it ends. But if there's a tie, then you have sudden death. And the way that you figure out who gets the ball to start overtime, based on our caller, was that John from New York yesterday? That was two guys from New York, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Bob and John. That the coin toss to start the game, if you win it and defer and take the ball in the second half to start the second half, which many teams do, then your opponent not only gets the ball to start the game, but also gets the ball to start overtime. If you win the toss and take the ball to start the game, you don't get it to start the second half, obviously, but you do get it to start overtime, should there be one. And you front load the decision beforehand, and the randomness of the coin flip is removed from overtime. Even though technically it's still part of who gets the ball first in overtime. But it's already decided. So you know you're playing out the second half of the game knowing who's going to get the ball
right. If
there is extra time forced. And then if there's a second overtime, the team that got the ball first to start the second half back in regulation gets it to start the second overtime. Right? Because you're not going to allow the ball to be in the hands of whoever ends the first overtime if they're playing it out down to the last second to try and win it, saying, I'll just kick the game winner once we're in the second overtime when it comes to sudden death. I'll just wait till we're in that sudden death period of the second overtime, maintain possession of the ball from one quarter to the other like it's quarter 1 to 2, and then win it. You'd have to restart it again once the second quarter hits. And just, that's the way you play out overtime. That's RES Consulting. I think we've gotten 2 days in. I kind of feel like what Jeff Garland said to us once when he was on the show here, that everybody comes up to him with curb ideas, and none of them are acceptable.
None of them work, yeah.
None of them are as good as anything that Larry David can come up with. So pound sand, I don't even need to hear it.
Exactly.
But we've gotten some ideas here, and we've got one more day tomorrow to workshop it.
I think we're heading in the right direction, if you think the direction needs to be headed in.
I think most of America does right now, to be honest with you.
I know. We're in the minority.
I think so. But you know what's going to happen? Nothing. That's my prediction. The competition committee will say they're going to look at it because they look at everything. And then when they look at it, nothing's going to get done.
Well, that's like what Jay said. You know, we've been talking about this
nothing
or something like it
will
for
get
years
done.
And years
the
now.
Chiefs brought this up after it screwed them in 2019, and it didn't even make it to a vote.
Well, screwed is a strong.
Or was you left them in a different feeling and sensation than they're currently in right now.
There you go.
Terry Bradshaw and Stanley Tucci on tomorrow's show. How about that for opposite ends?